I got a question. I am deeply confused about something, and I don't understand. And I try to understand things so that I can relay them to you. And I actually, you know, the worst thing about my job is the number of people I have to talk to, because I hate talking to people because I don't like people. And but I feel obligated if I don't understand something, I got to reach out to the epidemiologist here or the ambassador here or the former State Department person here or the active duty military. I try to figure stuff out so I can relate it to you so that we can understand things. And I've hit a brick wall on some, I don't know. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson and my head hurts right now. Cause I'm trying to process and I can't figure it out. The phone number, if you want to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Y'all know who Cori Bush is. I need your help with this one. Cori Bush is the hyper-progressive partisan congresswoman from Missouri. And I'm perplexed. And if you are gay or, in her words, queer folk, I need your help. If you're gay, if you consider yourself queer, you may need to weigh in on this one. I hate to say I have gay friends because, you know, when people say it's like I have black friends, you know immediately they're going to say something racist. So I have gay friends. I didn't want to even ask any of them because it's just awkward. Cori Bush, the congresswoman from Missouri, has put up a tweet outraged by the pro-life fetal heartbeat law in Texas. And she says people are going to be hurt by this pro-life legislation that prohibits abortions once a heartbeat is detected. And of the people who will be most impacted by it, she says, black, brown, poor, queer folk, and young folk. Here's the actual tweet. I'm thinking about the black, brown, low income, queer, and young folk in Texas, the folk this abortion healthcare ban will disproportionately harm. Wealthy white folks will have the means to access abortion care. Our communities will. Y'all, I'm trying to remember my biology classes, of which I had several. How does a same-sex couple, if you're engaged, how do you even talk about this on the radio? If you're in a same-sex relationship, having sexual relations with someone of the same sex, how the hell do you get pregnant and need an abortion? I don't know. And I'm afraid to Google that one because God knows what'll come up. I'm thinking about the black, brown, low-income, queer, and young folks in Texas. The folks this abortion healthcare plan will disproportionately harm. Wealthy white folks will have the means to access abortion care. Our communities won't. Why does the gay community need access to abortion services? I'm a highly educated man with a postgraduate degree in currently working on a PhD. I can't figure this one out. I just can't. And I'm kind of afraid to know the answer at this point. By the way, have y'all noticed this affectation now of folks people on the left now using folks. We're going to use folks all the time. I use folks. I use it in the, but yeah, there's just, it's another one of those affectations to, I'm just like you. I'm just a regular old folk in my black, brown, low income, queer and young folks communities where pregnancy is you can't get an abortion if you're gay now. Cause your same sex partner impregnated. I don't know that she knows how it works. We have to move on now because no good will come of lingering. Help us. All right. We do have to move on. I wish to talk about Israel. We need to talk about Israel because there are a lot of people who are casting doubt on the efficacy of the vaccines because in Israel, vaccinated people are being hospitalized. Jordan Ellenberg is a math professor at the University of Wisconsin. And he's writing about this. And I need you to understand something important. There is an organized effort to undermine trust in the vaccines. I personally find it to be a deeply evil thing. And I know that offends some of you, but the amount of doubt that is being cast is the same doubt of Satan in the Garden of Eden asking Eve, did God really say? And because some of you are doing it, you're offended at me saying it, but you are involved in a sin and you don't care and you don't think you are and you are, and you have convinced some people not to get a vaccine and some are dying. And I have another relative who died of COVID, who did not get the vaccine because he believed all of the stuff and decided that he was healthy and not in the demographic and he didn't need it. And by the way, he didn't have a single comorbidity. People are dying because they don't want the vaccine. Overwhelmingly, hospitals are full of people who are unvaccinated. But the people who are doing the bidding of Satan are out there saying, well, look at Israel, look at Israel, look at Israel. Satan always loves to look at Israel. All the people in the hospital in Israel who've had the vaccine, it clearly doesn't work. Jordan Ellenberg, math professor, writing about the statistics of this, there are actually statistical rules and stuff about this. I want to read you some of this about Simpson's paradox. While there is other evidence that the vaccine's protection against infection, not severe illness, declines over time, and also some evidence that booster shots work, we shouldn't be overly concerned about the Israeli hospitalization statistics that the anti-vax crowd is throwing out. The explanation involves a famous old statistical curveball called Simpson's paradox, which isn't really a paradox at all. It's just a reminder you have to be careful with the data. And the people in the service of Satan don't care about being careful with the data. They just want to undermine your trust. Simpson's paradox is a warning that the whole of the data often looks weirdly different than the sum of its parts. In the case of Israel, as a number of epidemiologists and other scholars have pointed out, what explains the surprising hospitalization figures is largely the relative ages of vaccinated and unvaccinated people. And I'm going to pause right here because I'm going to shut you down before you even touch the keyboard and send me hate mail. I don't care that you don't want to get vaccinated. I really don't. I don't care that you don't want the vaccine. But if you're out there spreading lies and misinformation and disinformation and willfully undermining people's trust in the vaccine, I care about that a great deal. I care about the people who showed up at a North Georgia vaccination event and disrupted it so much that people were scared and had to leave and they had to shut it down. I care about those people. I care that they're doing it to others. I don't care if you don't want the vaccine. Shut up. I'm not trying to offend you. And if you're offended by that, you're an idiot anyway. I don't care if you want the vaccine or not. I really don't care. at this point, it's your choice. You bear the burden of risk. You know the risks. The problem is not you. The problem is that there are a lot of people out there who really are willfully trying to undermine trust in the vaccine. They're willfully lying. They're willfully distorting data. They're willfully highlighting parts of information and leaving out the full picture. And those are the people I care about deeply and who enrage me. Israel, 80% of the adult population in Israel is vaccinated. If everybody's vaccinated, then all the hospitalized people would be vaccinated. But that wouldn't mean the vaccine was useless. Listen to this. Pay attention to this because, man, I'm getting it from people. What about Israel? What about Israel? You see, the vaccine works. What about Israel? Listen to this, you idiots. Not you people, just those who are trying to undermine it. Listen, I'm trying to be diplomatic here, but it's pissing me off. I can tell you guys all day long, it's your choice. I'm not going to make you get it. I think it works. It's your choice. It really is your choice. What I care deeply about, though, are that some of you are scared of getting it because you've heard people on the internet lie to you and you don't know that they're lying. And a lot of these people who are lying now are using the situation in Israel where vaccinated people are in the hospital with COVID, so it's proof that the vaccine doesn't work. So let me read you this. In real life, Israel, as of August 15th, 301 fully vaccinated people had an illness severe enough to require hospitalization. And only 214 COVID patients in Israel in the hospital were unvaccinated. So 301 were fully vaccinated and in the hospital with COVID. 214 were unvaccinated and in the hospital with COVID. Sounds like the vaccine doesn't work, does it? This is what you're hearing. Why are there more vaccinated people in the hospital in Israel with COVID than unvaccinated people? Let's put it in perspective now, shall we? The vaccinated people with illness severe enough to be hospitalized represent 53 out of 1 million people. 53 out of 1 million people. The 214 hospitalized people who haven't been vaccinated, they represent 164 out of every million people. In other words, an unvaccinated Israeli is three times more likely to end up in the hospital than the vaccinated counterpart. But that's not as impressive a difference as you might expect, is it? When you get that shot, we're hoping for and expecting a lot heftier risk reduction than a factor of three. The really counterintuitive nugget at the heart of the Simpsons paradox lies deeper. The way to make the power of the paradox really clear, it has to do with the lines in rates of COVID infection. As of July 2020, confirmed cases of COVID in the U.S. broke down along the following lines. 34.6% were Hispanic, 35.3% were non-Hispanic white, and 20.8% were black. But in deaths, 17.7% of COVID deaths in the United States were Hispanic, 49.5% of COVID deaths in the United States were white, and 22.9% were black. Why? Well, white people with COVID-19 are more likely to die of COVID-19 because old people are more likely to die of COVID-19, and more elderly white people got it than younger black or Hispanic people. It spread through a lot of nursing homes that are disproportionately white. Among Americans between 18 and 29 in July 2020, white people made up 30% of COVID cases, but just 19% of deaths. Among people 85 and up, 70% of COVID-19 cases and 68% of deaths were white people. So this gets back to Israel. Vaccinated Israelis tend to be the oldest Israelis, and that's why they're going to the hospital at a higher rate. Among Israeli adults under 50, 3.5 million were vaccinated, 1.1 million were not. Among those 3.5 million vaccinated young people, 11 were hospitalized. 43 of the unvaccinated were hospitalized. So 3 per million of the vaccinated young Israelis were hospitalized. 39 per million of the unvaccinated were hospitalized. That's it. That's why. There are 2.1 million vaccinated Israelis over 50. 290 were in the hospital August 15th. That's 136 per million, a rate that dwarfs anything young people are experiencing. Vaccinated older Israelis, there are very few people in that category. There are only 186,000 Israelis who are unvaccinated over the age of 50. And 171 of them were hospitalized. That's 919 out of a million. In the older population, vaccinated people were less than one-sixth as likely to be hospitalized. So there's your answer. Yes, in Israel right now, there are more hospitalized vaccinated people than unvaccinated people. There are. That's true. But in the mass pool of people, you're three times more likely to be vaccinated or three times more likely to be hospitalized if you're unvaccinated. And by the way, younger people in Israel are going to the hospital at a higher rate. And of those who are hospitalized, who are vaccinated, they're all over 60. So yes, age still matters with COVID. Age still matters, even if you're vaccinated. But stop with the willful disruption. Again, if you don't want to get vaccinated, I'm not condemning you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not shaming you. It's your choice. But please stop sharing the disinformation that's out there that is convincing other people to not get vaccinated. That's the problem we're dealing with in this country. People willfully lying to convince other people not to get vaccinated. Maybe stop believing everything you read on the internet. If you are a regular listener of this here program, you know my quest for the perfect mattress. I finally found one after multiple iterations. And then, of course, you got to get the perfect sheets to go with the mattress. I mean, you need quality sheets. Well, that's why Bull & Branch is right for you. You know, there's a great, great, great company out there. They're highly entrepreneurial and they make high quality sheets, the highest quality. It makes the world a better place when you're sleeping under high quality sheets on a great mattress, and you need Bull & Branch to go with your mattress. They are soft. They've got that weighted feel, but they're also very, very soft. They're very comfortable. You sleep cool, but you also feel like you have something on you. Like, I can't sleep in super light sheets, and the Bull & Branch, they are the perfect purpose balance. My wife loves them. I love them. They're super soft. They're high quality. And you know what? You'll sleep well at night with them. You'll also, for some reason, the Bull & Branch, it's the sheen on them there. You don't get tangled up in the covers at night, which is also great. So I highly recommend Bull & Branch. You can try them worry-free for 30 nights if you don't believe me. You get free shipping and returns. Now, my listeners get 15% off your first set of sheets with promo code ERICK, E-R-I-C-K, at BullandBranch.com. That's Bull & Branch, B-O-L-L, and Branch.com. The promo code is ERICK. Sleep comfortably with Bull & Branch. You won't get tangled up under the covers. They give you a little weight. They're the perfect set of sheets to go with your mattress. Yep. People who lack comprehension. I'm already getting hate mail from people. Listen, it's funny. This is how I don't understand the number of people who worry about snowflakes and then are snowflakes themselves and how sensitive they are. Cause it doesn't matter how many caveats you put on it. I genuinely don't care if you get vaccinated or not. I mean, yeah, I wish you would, because I think it'd be for your own good. But if you don't want to, that it's okay. It's okay. I deeply care about the people peddling misinformation and disinformation out there. I really do. And, there's this thing. It's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. That a lot of people lack the knowledge to understand how much knowledge they lack about a situation. But in other words, people don't know they don't know enough. And they presume that they too can be an expert on something. Or they go online, they find people who sound like what they're talking about is true. And we've lost as a society the skill of discernment. We turn to people who share our worldview and we believe we're going to get accurate information there. On top of that, we turn to people who tell us what we already think is true and they confirm the truth. We never challenge ourselves anymore. Everybody lives in a bubble. And that, to some degree, is why there are so much vaccine hesitancy. But regardless, if you don't want to get it, don't get it. I'm not talking about you. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm not trying to belittle you. What I am concerned about, though, greatly, is there really is a willful campaign among some to distort, lie, and feed misinformation or selectively quote information, like what's happening in Israel. Overwhelmingly, disproportionately, on a per capita basis, the unvaccinated people are getting sick, not the vaccinated people. of the vaccinated people who are getting sick, overwhelmingly, it's really old people. It's not young people. The vaccine clearly does work. We see this in this country as well. Overwhelmingly, it is people with comorbidities who are unvaccinated who are in hospitals, but sometimes it's healthy people who are unvaccinated, including someone I know who died yesterday, who had no comorbidities, was perfectly healthy and in shape, and died of COVID. It is a random, weird disease, and I just think we need to be careful about the willful misinformation out there from some, but if you don't want to get it, don't get it. I'm not insulting you. The unknown came to the workplace in 2020, and things have changed. Everybody's looking to work out of their house, so they want a great chair. I found a great chair, the X chair. It's at the forefront of home and office settings during this transition, and X chair's newest innovation, the Elimax temperature regulation, will take your sitting comfort to a whole new level. There's a patent pending for the Elimax. It allows you to experience cooling, heating, massage in your lower back while you're working. You're feeling stressed out from the Zoom calls, the Microsoft Teams meetings? Turn on Elimax massage therapy. X chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar DVL support was already the best in class, and now you get Elimax. Imagine regulating your body temperature and getting massage therapy while you're working. It really is a fantastically comfortable, well-designed, well-put-together chair. Go to xchairerik.com right now. That's xchair, E-R-I-C-K.com, or call 1-844-4XCHAIR to save $100 off your order. XChair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. Go to xchairerik.com now or use code XWheels for free X-Wheel blade casters. xchairerik.com. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson. The phone lines are open, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Very, very close to finishing out helping help the person. I mean, you can always donate if you want, but there are just a couple $1,000s left of the money they need to raise to help get people out of Afghanistan. They're still working on it. Text the word donate to 33777. Text donate to 33777 if you would like to help them, help get people out of Afghanistan. I want to turn to the economy. There are a number of stories out there about the economy that I think really shed light on the fact that we really are going through a level of realignment in this country in a variety of ways. I have said for a while we're in a political realignment. It's take J.D. Vance, for example, in Ohio. J.D. Vance, hillbilly elegy author, is running for the U.S. Senate. He's running. He had been a vocal critic of Donald Trump and has become a supporter of Donald Trump over time. Very focused on the white working class. He's pro-union, pro-free speech. He's pro-social safety net. He is not, by any stretch of the imagination, libertarian. He is a big government conservative, if ever there was one. And in fact, a lot of people are saying he's got the same views as people on the left did in the 40s and 50s. He's a Truman Republican, if you will, or an FDR Republican. And he's not alone. I've had a number of people tell me that they more and more view themselves as an old school Democrat. They are pro-unions, which I actually think is a terrible idea. It just drives up costs, among other things. It's not as worker-friendly. It just funds the left, ultimately. But they're pro-union. They want good government education-run systems. They want access to colleges. They want government health care. They want social safety net benefits for people. It very much sounds like a 1950s, 1960s Democrat with conservative social policy. And in fact, the data does show that if there's really a constituency for a new party in this country, it is socially conservative and fiscally liberal. A lot of people in this country of the academic and political elite believe we need to be socially liberal and fiscally conservative. We need to restrain the size and scope of government finances, but we need to be all in on abortion, gay rights, transgender rights, and the culture war from the left. In fact, Hispanic voters, black voters, and a lot of white working class voters are perfectly happy with a government that provides a social safety net and large social dividend, but is deeply conservative when it comes to life and transgender politics and the alphabet gang war that we're all in with culture. There's actually a greater constituency for that. And J.D. Vance is one of several candidates out there, some of whom are funded by the billionaire Peter Thiel, who are taking this tact. It's very interesting to watch his rise. I'm not sure I'm down with all of it. The unionization stuff, for example, I can't get behind because it's just going to fuel the left. You're not going to reshape the internal politics of those organizations. But it's intriguing to actually watch some of these candidates on the scene, and including him, rise, and they're taking the positions that Democrats took in the 50s as Republican positions now. We are in the midst of a real realignment politically in this country, where a lot of the Republican Party is starting to look like a bygone era of Democrats, and some of the Democratic policies, frankly, outside of the progressive left, which is just full-on commie at this point, some of the more moderate left, they're taking positions that the Republican Party of the 50s and 60s might have held. They're very socially liberal, but they actually worry about the debt and the deficit. They want to raise taxes to balance the budget, and they're willing to do progressive taxation of the rich to balance it out. Policies that Democrats have had, but they're talking about it more in ways Republicans of the 50s and 60s did. The Everett Dirksons of the world, those sorts of Republicans. It's very odd. Of course, the Democratic Party is now the Episcopalian Church at Prayer, where it used to be the Republican Party was the Episcopalian Church at Prayer. Not that anybody's an Episcopalian anymore. That's the most rapidly dying off congregation in America. My apologies to those of you who are offended by that, who are in the Episcopal Church, but you're a dying breed, and there's all the research says it. We are, however, in realignment politically. We are also, however, in economic realignment, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the politics of our country are realigning at the time that our economy is realigning in various ways. Private payroll increased by just 374,000 in August. The estimate from ADP was 600,000. This is from CNBC. U.S. companies created far fewer jobs than expected in August as the COVID resurgence coincided with cutbacks in hiring, according to a report Wednesday from payroll services firm ADP. Private payroll rose just 374,000 for the month, well below the Dow Jones estimate of 600,000, though above July's 326,000, which was revised downward slightly from the initial 330,000 reading. Most of the new jobs came from leisure and hospitality, which added 201,000 positions in a somewhat hopeful sign that an industry beset by labor shortages continues to recover. Education and health services combined to add 59,000 for the month as hospitals in some parts of the country were swamped with virus cases and schools began to reopen. Following a robust recovery from the shortest but steepest recession in U.S. history, economic data of late has been disappointing, possibly reflecting pullbacks from the summer surge of the Delta variant. Now, another story to add to the file. In Oregon, a McDonald's is asking 14-year-olds to apply for jobs. At McDonald's in Medford, Oregon, they're so desperate for workers that it's plastered a huge banner in front of the restaurant calling on 14 and 15-year-olds to apply for jobs. There are always staffing issues, but this is unheard of, Heather Coleman, the restaurant operator, told Business Insider. The sign has drawn 25 new applications in 2 weeks. Coleman said the outlet added that she previously raised the store's minimum wage to $15 an hour, but that didn't lure many applicants. Anyone 14 and older can legally work in Oregon, but 14 and 15-year-olds cannot work during school hours and are limited to 3 hours on any school day, according to the state's Bureau of Labor Statistics. They also can't work more than 8 hours on non-school days. Coleman's family has operated McDonald's franchises for 40 years and has never had trouble finding new workers. Now she's seen it in ways she's never seen it before. The U.S. added 943,000 jobs in July above expectations. Employment dropped to 5.4%, but about 8.7 million people are still unemployed, far higher than the 5.7 million unemployed in February. Keep those stories in mind. And now there's a third one. This is from Pew Research. The coronavirus pandemic has affected how schools and workplaces in the United States operate, and amid the disruptions, some parents have questioned whether working for pay really works for them. The increase in the share of mothers who would prefer not to work for pay at all reflects in large part a change in the preferences of those who were not employed at the time. About two-thirds of mothers who were not employed in October of 2020 said not working for pay was the best arrangement for them at that point in their life, up from 39% who said the same in 2019. 65% of mothers not employed in October said it was best for their families for them not to work. That's a change from 39% in 2019. In fact, let me read a little further. Indeed, a new analysis of an October 2020 Pew Research Center survey of U.S. adults finds an increase in the share of mothers who said the best arrangement for them personally would be not to work for pay. About a quarter of mothers with children younger than 18 at home said this in October of 2020, up from 19%, went from 19% to 27% in the 2019 survey. The share of mothers who said it would be best for them to work full-time dropped from 51% to 44% during that span, while around 3 in 10 in both surveys said they would prefer to work part-time. There was no significant change in how fathers described their work arrangements. In both 2019 and 2020, 8 in 10 dads said they would prefer to work full-time. Much smaller shares said it would be best for them to personally work part-time or not work at all. There was also a sharp increase in the share of part-time working mothers who said the work arrangement was best for them personally. In October of 2020, 83% said they preferred this arrangement, up from 54% in 2019. More and more moms would prefer to stay home with their kids. Part of this is because they were home with their kids last year and happened to see the education their kids were getting, and they were appalled by it. Now, I'm going to say something that you're not supposed to say anymore, but it remains true. Children would be better off with one parent at home with them. Typically, it's the mother who does it because mothers tend to be a little more nurturing. All this conversation about there's no difference between the sexes, actually there is. Kids need dads, but they also need moms, and they play different roles in families. And there's a lot of data out there that kids whose mothers stay at home with them in a two-parent heterosexual household tend to outperform all other kids. You have two parents, only one of which works, one stays home with the kids. Those kids do better than all the other kids. There's lots of data out there that shows that. But that's not the way we as a society work these days, because things get expensive. People have needs. You got colleges to pay for. You got cars to pay for. You got private schools to pay for. And oftentimes moms and dads both have to go to work. That's the true reality of our situation, regardless of what the data says. But we're seeing more and more mothers saying they would prefer to stay home with their kids. We're seeing more and more people getting married and having kids and making that arrangement. This is a profound societal realignment. And I don't know which comes first, the chicken or the egg in this case. My sense is that it's the economic realignment of people that is forcing the political realignment of people. You know, Donald Trump actually won married women. Donald Trump actually did better with women than he did with men. All the polling suggested the opposite. But in the actual exit poll surveys, which are really good, credible surveys of the people who actually voted, Donald Trump did better with married women than he did with married men. He did better with single women than he did with single men. Donald Trump did better with women. And part of that is what? That Donald Trump likes a social safety net. He encourages men to go to work. And he wants to take care of kids. His policy supported school choice and supported fighting crime and getting people back to work. It was pro-family. And so we're seeing this whole alignment around politics based on these equations of people. Now they've worked from home. A lot of moms work from home. They're like, you know what? We're doing just fine. We lost our job during the pandemic and we were able to be fine. So I'm going to stay home with the kids. You, husband, go back to work. Work two jobs if you have to make up for the loss of it. The kids need someone home. We're seeing that. It's bearing out. The Pew survey is showing it. There is a real realignment of economic priorities and social priorities of the country. And coupled with this is this. There is a greater rise now in people supporting homeschool and school choice than ever before. More mothers now support getting their kids out of public school than at any time in American history. More moms and dads support homeschool than at any time in American history. Our entire society, due to this virus and what happened over the last year with lockdowns, shutdowns, layoffs, and recoveries and viral rebounds, everything is changing. It happens about once a century. It happened in the early 1900s as well. As we came out of Reconstruction in this country and headed towards World War I, as America began to industrialize, we saw profound economic, social, and home life restructuring that then caused political realignments. We're starting to see all of that happening right now, here now in the 21st century, in 2021. We're starting to see these things happen. And I don't know that anyone has an answer for how it's going to play out, but it does look more and more like where we are headed to the Democratic Party now becoming the party of rich white people who want a socialist policy, economic policy in the country, because they've concluded, not that they don't want competition, although some of them have concluded that, but that no one else can compete because of the government and its policies. Instead of shutting down those policies, we need to just elevate people with government social safety programs. And yet we're seeing in the Republican side a less white party growing, where people actually do want to compete, but also have a social safety net so that not everyone has to compete if they don't want to, particularly in families. There is a rise now on the right for pro-family policies, and it comes at a time where the left in this country is more and more secular and single and childless. And those fundamentally upend the dynamics in this country because black and Hispanic families are still more likely to get married and reproduce in this country than white people. And those families that are reproducing are headed towards the GOP away from the Democratic Party as the Democratic Party gets rich, white, and woke. We're all watching this play out, but we're seeing it play out in real time in the economy as a lot of people are deciding not to go back to work. And it's not just the virus anymore. It's two people in a household, and one of them staying home with the kids. The societal fallout of this is that we've built up an entire leisure hospitality class of fast food restaurants, sit-down restaurants, delis, local venues for food and entertainment in this country that can't survive if people are not all out there working, because they don't have enough workers to cover the counter. They don't have enough workers to wait the tables. And so we're probably about to be on the verge of a collapse of a lot of smaller restaurants in this country and fast food chains in this country, and a culling of the herd, if you will, in some of this, because we don't have enough workers out there to sustain it. And we're now seeing it's not just the virus. It's not just people staying out because of the virus. It's people having stayed out because of the virus and realizing they can change their lifestyle, and their lifestyle is no longer compatible with having a McDonald's on every corner. And that's going to have profound implications for real estate, for income, for jobs and opportunity in this country. And no one, don't believe anyone if they can tell you how it's going to wind up. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson. This hour of the program brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. Wherever you are in the nation, they want to help you grow. They want to help your business become a big business. If you're interested in having First Liberty help you, go to FirstLibertyGA.com, FirstLibertyGA.com. They, my friends, are in the business of making big decisions with your business. Big loans, six figures and above. But if you fit the criteria, go for it. FirstLibertyGA.com. Thank you to them. Yep, as I predicted, it doesn't matter how many times you clarify, how many times you say anything, you get hate mail from the people who are anti-vaccine, who it's not just that they don't want it, they don't want anybody else to get it as well. I don't care if you don't want it. I will tell you this. I do think that the medical community has done a vast, vast disservice in not talking about prior infection. Because there are people who have real natural immunity, who in so doing they're not going to get it. And it's just such a disservice, I think, to those people to deny the fact that based on their prior infection, they've got the antibodies and they don't need the vaccine. Now, there is some data out there now, that's true. There is some data out there now that suggests that it is helpful for you to still get the vaccine. But there's actually mixed data out there. There is some data out there that suggests if you've been infected, you've got such strong natural immunity, most people, not all people, but most people, particularly if they're young, do, that you don't need the vaccine. That even against the Delta variant is good. But if you say that, you're somehow some sort of denier. And no, you're not. You're telling the truth. People just lack the humility to say sometimes they don't know or sometimes they've got it wrong. And the medical community is the worst because of the God complex so many doctors have. But they'd do the world a lot more if they just were honest about it and say, hey, you may not need it, but talk to your doctor and figure it out with him.